You're tuned to Sound Effect on 88.5 KNKX. I'm Jennifer Wing, and today's theme is taking us into the woods. David Schumer grew up in the suburbs of Detroit in an upper-middle-class Jewish family. He spent his life trying to escape the suburbs. And at 24 years old, this young man from the city, without any knowledge of how to live off the land, retreated into the woods of northern Arkansas, the Ozarks. He wasn't alone. Other out-of-the-box thinkers and long-haired hippies were doing the same thing. And even though David Schumer was looking to nature to test himself, the modern world continued to tap on his shoulder, requesting his attention. David spoke with Sound Effect producer Ali Ferguson about this time in his life in the mid-1970s. David felt like things were not going very well for America.
So Nixon had resigned.
I shall resign the presidency effective at noon tomorrow.
Jimmy Carter was kind of hapless.
It is a crisis of confidence.
The Black Panthers were being decimated.
Police and Black Panthers clash in Houston, New Orleans, and other cities.
A lot of the politics of the new left were kind of falling apart. And disco was starting. You know, if that isn't the sign of an end of a civilization, I don't know what is. I mean, disco? This was bad stuff for us.
And what was your response to this craziness of disco and Jimmy Carter?
Well, I did have some good moves, and I did have a leisure suit. I don't want you to think I was that out of it, Allie. But the main thing was that a lot of us felt that the country was going to fall apart. We didn't think it would be able to sustain itself. So we thought the only sane thing to do would be to move to a rural area, buy 30 acres of land, build a house, and grow our own food.
And who's we?
So there wasn't any group, there wasn't any membership kind of, but we formed what was called the Back to the Land movement. A lot of people throughout the country who were, you know, 60s radicals or 60s active people ended up doing that.
And so you end up moving to rural Arkansas. How did you find this land?
This big piece of land came up for sale at once, and it was in the community of Chimes. So Chimes is about an hour and a half northwest of Little Rock, and it's deep in the Ozark Mountains. And this guy, this realtor, divided this big estate into 20-acre pieces. And many of us came from around the country, and Some were families, some were single, some were married couples.
And so you head down to Arkansas to your 30 acres. What was your plan for the land down there?
What was my plan? Well, I didn't know anything about farming or building or anything. I mean, it was so odd for me to be down there because everything was just new. In fact, I was walking with a realtor, a very folksy realtor named Fairfax Abraham, and I pointed to something on the ground where there are bugs coming out of it. I said, wow, this is where the ants live. And he said, I got to put you down for that, buddy. I ain't never seen someone who ain't seen cow before. But I didn't. I mean, I knew nothing about it.
So was it enjoyable? I mean, what did you like about being down there?
You were so removed from every other distraction. I mean, if someone asked me what is my favorite memory of my life, I would think about one night when I was sitting on my porch in Arkansas, and you could see fireflies throughout the whole wood. And I mean, and they lit up the whole wood, and I was sitting by myself just staring at the fireflies for hours. You know, I mean, those were the type of experiences we would have quite often.
So you had those moments of sitting on the porch watching the fireflies for hours, which sound absolutely beautiful, but well, there's got to be the other side of that. It's hard.
It was very hard. Whenever my neighbor would come over, and his name was Johnny Reeves, I learned he was about to save me from a disaster. So he came over once, and he looked at this foundation I was building on my house. And he said to me, he said, Dave, a feller might want to put the bigger rocks on the bottom. And I thought to myself, huh, I wonder what he means by that. And then the next day, the whole foundation just had fallen down overnight. And then I began to get it. You know, I thought they were just being polite or making small talk. I translated in my mind is that a feller might is that a very stupid person will not listen to this piece of advice.
So you're out in the Ozarks, you know, you're living off the grid, but there's something that draws you back to political reality in 1979. What is that?
So we had a rule in our community. You could not have electricity. So we were pretty strict that we didn't want to have anything to do with the bigger America as a whole. And then when Three Mile Island melted down.
It was an accident at the Three Mile Island nuclear power plant, which is located on an island in the Susquehanna River, 10 miles from Harrisburg. A cooling pump broke down, and the plant did just what it was supposed to do, shut itself off. But not before some radioactivity had escaped.
We all realized that we were just, 25, 30 miles away from a nuclear power plant in Russellville, Arkansas. And if that melted down, our land would be unusable, our houses would be unusable, we would have to be evacuated. We, as well as the rest of the country after Three Mile Island, wanted to shut down all the nuclear power plants in the country.
And what did you do?
So there was this day in November, I think it was, and the group was called the Clamshell Alliance. People who were anti-nuclear in Arkansas were going to drive down to the Russellville nuclear power plant and trespass on it, get arrested, make a big deal, and try to shut the thing down. They were going to do this all over the country.
What happened?
Well, we got down there, about six of us from our neighborhood, and there was this guy, this really cool-looking older hippie, you know, and he said, well, I don't think we should commit, you know, nonviolent disobedience. He thought we should just hold signs. And then John Foley, who was this, you know, who was one of my neighbors, and he said to them, he said, you guys are a bunch of wussies. He said, you know, if the six of us have to shut down this plant ourselves, the six of us will. And with that, you know, the whole crowd turned by there. They were just waiting for some crazy hipsters from the woods to just kind of march in and take over. And we just marched and we marched in and you know, and I broke through first. And that's how I became the first person ever to be arrested for trespassing a nuclear power plant in Arkansas. And I got on the front page of the Arkansas Gazette. You know, that was it. So
did you shut down the plant at all?
Well, I don't think anyone shut down the plant, but what happened in this country after the protests, there became such agreement that nuclear power was a bad idea that for the next 37 years, there was not a new nuclear power plant that opened up in the country. And even now, with the one they opened this year, it's very hard to get support for a nuclear power plant.
How did this change your vision of this peaceful rural life off the grid? How did this experience maybe put some cracks in that idea?
Well, you know, I think you can never get far enough away. You know, we tried to bury our heads in the sand. You know, one, things can never get that bad that you shouldn't have a voice in it. I thought the seven of us and the rest of us, the rest of the people in the anti-nuke movement, you know, had a strong voice and really change things.
So looking back all these years later, was it worth it to move to Arkansas and live off the grid?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I think Arkansas formed me as an individual. If ever I doubted that there was something I couldn't do, if ever I doubted that I didn't have the capability to learn, having that experience down there where you had to learn so much, and if you didn't put your roof on right, it would leak. And if it leaked, you had to take it off and put it back on. That kind of coming up against reality for me, you know, day in and day out, really formed me as a human being and, you know, made me realize that I could be competent. But also when you have comfort in your skills, you can be compassionate. When you're not worried all the time about how you're doing or if you're going to succeed or fail, you can look around and see other people who need help. Everything in the woods is done gradually, just like ants, just done piece by piece. And when you realize that anything medical school is actually done piece by piece. Raising your kids, all that stuff. And you realize that if you can keep on that piece by piece mentality, you can find incredible freedom in your life.